Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
If you were going to, if you were still in school, or if perhaps your children are in school, what would it look like if you would send them to a school that would send them around the world over the course of the year, studying in four different countries, for example, to look at the social elements, the economic elements, the all of the different parts of living in that different country? Well, this is what they do at the Think Global School. And I'm happy to have on with me right now Sharika Venugopal, who is the school and college counselor at Think Global School, Tiffany Green, a school and college counselor, and Maria Diaz de Leon, an intern at Think Global School. Good morning and welcome to Weekend Mornings. Great to have all of you with us today.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
I am way outdone by intelligent, amazing, and beautiful women on the show today. So thank you for that. definitely classing up the show in brain power and beauty today. So thank you, ladies, for being on with me. Sharika, let's start with you because I think probably most people have not heard of the Think Global School. Give us an overview of what it is and actually how it works.
Yes. So Think Global School, we are a traveling high school. So students from grade 10 to 12, the students that start at grade 10 would travel to 12 different countries over the 3 years. So that means, as you mentioned before, it's four countries a year. But we also admit students into grade 11. That means those students would travel to eight different countries over the course of their high school tenure with us. Tiffany, am I missing anything?
No, it's great.
Okay. And Tiffany, when you look at the way that kids are interacting with this, first of all, how many classes have gone through this? Has it been going on for a while?
Yeah, I want to say maybe we're in our 11th or 12th graduating class this year. So yeah, I'm not sure if you or any of the listeners are familiar with the story, but our founder, Joanne McPike, founded the school when her son was going into high school. So it organically started from her son and his friends, or maybe her friends' children, and now it's morphed into what we have today.
And when you look at, of course, this past year has been a challenging one in many respects, but are the programmings continuing on, Tiffany, despite COVID?
It is. So actually last year, half of our school was on a hike in Patagonia, Chile. We had no idea the world was closing. Last year at this time, we were literally in a remote area. Mm. And so thankfully, we all were able to leave safely and all the students have been back home since March. Because of our ratio of students to faculty, it's about 2 or 3 to 1. The students are still getting the personalized learning. Of course, we're not traveling at the particular moment, but we're still staying true to our roots of project-based learning, individualized learning, and we hope that in July we'll be able to resume traveling. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're talking about the Think Global School right now with Sharika Venugopal, the school and college counselor, Tiffany Green, the school and college counselor as well, and Maria Diaz de Leon. And Maria, you're an intern at Think Global School. What are you doing as an intern there? What's your day look like?
So, I mean, I was an intern because I was a student there. So I graduated in the class of 2020, so I didn't actually had a grad because of COVID. But during that time, our principal asked me, hey, are you interested in maybe learning and sharing what you learned to other students? So my day usually looks like having a bunch of call with new students and teaching them everything I know and basically learning from them. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. What do you know after graduating from there? First of all, how many countries did you eventually study in?
Okay. I got the chance to visit 7 different countries. So I went to Botswana in Africa. Uh-huh. Then I went to India in Mumbai. Then I went to Japan. We were in Hiroshima. Then we went to Spain. We were in Bilbao and Madrid. Then we went to China. We were in Shanghai. Then we went to Oman. We were in the city of Muscat. And then we were in Panama City. And then our last country would have been Greece, but we didn't have the chance to.
Chance to get there. And Maria, when you were in each country, first of all, how long did you stay in each place?
We stay for 2 months approximately. Yeah, it's like 7 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while you're there, are you studying all the different subjects, or is it more focused just only on something you could only learn in that country about its culture or customs or something?
So because of our school being project-based, what we really do is that before getting to the country, develop and create three very big projects we call modules. Mm. And what these modules are is, I mean, they get split, you know, between like the different disciplines. So one module might be math and history. The other module might be, I don't know, psychology and marketing, the other module. So this project creation really depends on the country that we're visiting, because we really need to take that into, you know, into account. And that's how experience and learning kind of meets, you know, and that's what makes your school so unique. Experience is the base of everything we do.
Yeah, in any school, right? But I mean, this like is 100x, 200x, right? A power of experience when you think about being able to travel around the world. Well, if you think about, I know you maybe it might be tough to boil it down to one big idea, but is there a big idea or a big concept that you came away from your experience at Think Global School, Maria, your time there?
Oh my God, that's a hard question. But we have different core values in our school, and one of those core values is Ubuntu. Ubuntu in Sulu means teamwork and means, you know, how like being there for your community. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that, I mean, I'm most grateful about. You know, not only the problem solving with your team, but loving people that are not from my culture. You know, I'm from Mexico and my best friend is from the Philippines and my other best friend is from Ukraine. So that's really what made the whole difference, you know?
One last question to you, Maria, and then I'm going to have some more questions for Tiffany and Sharika. But how did you feel about the safety angle of it? Because as a parent, I'm thinking, would I send my 15-year-old daughter overseas, four different countries? You know, was there any safety concern for you or for your parents, probably more appropriately?
Yeah, I think if my mom was here talking to you, she would be like, yeah, I was definitely thinking about that when we knew that our daughter was going to go visit elephants. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, everything in our community comes down to communication. You know, they accept kids that they know that are going to be responsible, that are going to be, you know, like really like aware of their surroundings, aware of their community, really patient, really adaptable, and really flexibility is everything. Mm. And educators are there every step of the way, you know? Yep. Even though you have to like take charge in your learning, they charge of the logistics and the don't kill yourself part.
Yeah. Well, that's fortunate. Yes, and we're glad you came back. We're talking about the Think Global School, a global high school sending kids up to eight countries around the world. Sharika, when you look and when you listen to Maria, you know, kind of give her backstory on her experience, what do you feel like is the big benefit for the kids to do this? It's a lot of work, obviously. It's probably, I would imagine, a fair amount of stress on everybody to make this happen, to get kids around the world and safely and still learning and all that. But what do you feel that they take away from it?
I think most importantly is the ability to answer real life problems or like be curious about whatever country they're traveling to, as opposed to just rote learning, which is something that's adopted in most traditional schools.
Yeah.
So having the driving question, like Maria said, is like, for example, right now, one of the modules that we are doing in CM2 is around, you know, the scarcity of food during a pandemic and how can we fix that? So that's what the kids are working on. So it's very real life issues that they can think about, investigate, evaluate, and then, you know, apply in some way or form. And also some of our kids take it to the next level and create something new and pitch the ideas to angel investors and see what comes out of that. So I think that's the real difference between, you know, Think Global School and the traditional education model.
Wow.
It's not just pencil and paper and exams and, you know, how much can you regurgitate in 2 hours and assessing somebody based on those skills purely, if that makes sense. Because I think we're moving into a world where it's more problem solving. Can you identify the problem to begin with? And then, you know, how do we create steps to solve that problem? Mm. And another thing I think with our
kids like as real, well. This I is mean, like real life stuff, right? I mean, these are real life skills
exactly.
that are absolutely going to help
real
people.
Life skills. Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be, you know, and if I may say so myself, I think the caliber of the students that we have is so high. They're so highly intelligent. They are able to identify problems. And in our school, I think we don't focus purely on the end product. We're very much about assessing the process. It's okay if your project fails. that's fine. But how did you get there? What are the steps that you took? And what are the questions that you asked yourself, reflect, evaluate in each step of the way to get to the end product? It's okay if it doesn't work, but as long as the process is one that is well thought out of, you know, that makes the person fail in our school. We don't really fail kids because we're always guiding them to achieve the best that they can. But, you know, to make you understand how we work in our school. Yeah.
We're talking about the Think Global School, a global high school, with Sharika Venugopal, school and college counselor at the school, Tiffany Green, school and counselor as well, and Maria Diaz de Leon, a former student. And Tiffany, when you look at the types of kids that are applying for this, when you are looking to interview and accept the kids, first of all, are there a lot more kids applying than there are spaces for, or is this something that's pretty niche that not too many kids really want to go out and do? Or when you look at the number of kids that do apply, what are you searching for a potential student? Sharika mentioned a couple of the traits, but what does that interview process look like?
Yeah, so the interview process is pretty full on. So I can say, each year we have around 20 to 25 openings, more or less. I know next year we only have 10 on our particular side of the cohort. And so it starts with our admissions department. They do a really great job kind of screening the applications. Maria probably remembers her application cycle. They also do a ton of assessments for like social and emotional intelligence, how mature are the students. The parents also go through an interview process as well. Like they're also being asked questions. So they meet around, I would say, 10 individuals throughout the time that they go through the interview.
Wow.
And I know for me, I love TGS because we value all limbs of intelligence. So not just the academic traditional intelligence, did I pass an exam? Our students, some of our students without TGS may have missed an opportunity for being the person that they are because it's just not celebrated a lot in our traditional school system. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And I know for the most part, we're looking for people, number one, Maria mentioned our core values, who are compassionate, right? We're going to be going to lots of different places. Like, do students have compassion on the places, the people? You can't always teach compassion. We can teach math. We can teach other things. You can't always teach compassion. We're looking for students who are curious, right? Curiously asking questions, inquisitive, trying to understand. You know, we don't want to bring a student to a country and they're in the coffee shop the entire time. We want them to be curious and go out there, adventurous and risk takers. We value those things. And then I think like critical thinking is really big for us. So we use Bloom's taxonomy. Like, are students able to create their own understanding? Sharika mentioned a little bit about like not rote memorization, but are they able to think critically? Like in the future, when they go out and they are change makers, that's the name of our curriculum, the Changemaker curriculum. Are they willing to look at all components of a situation, getting different lenses? And something also Maria mentioned is like having friends from all over the world. You know, like as a person from the U.S., we had a student from Afghanistan. And here, you know, sometimes we only know one side of a story. And so I remember she said something to me. This was my first year here. She said, I remember we were so thankful for rain. And I was like, why? Why are you thankful for rain? She said, because the drones can't fly over and there's 100% guarantee that there's no bombs.
Wow.
And it still shakes me because for us, we think of it as like national security, right? But what is on the other side of that? It's people, it's communities, it's lives that are lost that we would never know the story if it weren't for this school, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think curious, compassionate, critical thinkers, I would say those are the things we look for more than grades, because at the end of the day, we're not going to have grades in life, right? Like Sharika and I, we work, we don't have grades, but we need intrinsic motivation. We need compassion. We need to like solve problems on the fly, you know? So those are our 21st century skills that we kind of look for in students.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to come with it, but we'll help mold them.
Yeah. Tiffany, is it a 4-year program?
3 years. Used to be 4 years, and they changed it around 5 years ago because 14 was just too young. It was just really young for students to come and travel and be away from their families.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons they switched the model to start in 10th grade.
Yeah. So someone would go to ninth grade somewhere else, and then they would start in at 10th grade.
And, yeah, they would.
Yeah. And Maria, if I can ask you, since you're an alumnus of this, now that you're out, do you feel like there's any if you're looking at university, for example, does the program translate to a traditional university environment? How do universities look at you as a potential student?
Yeah, so that was one of my challenges, right? Because I was so invested on alternative education. And when I got to the point where, okay, choose a college, I was like, oh my God, all of them are traditional, how can I keep investing in myself to keep on the alternative? And I remember I was talking to a friend about this, and she was like, girl, you are the alternative one. It doesn't matter if the college is traditional, you're already alternative, so it doesn't really matter. So really what we try to communicate at universities is how we solve problems, as Sharika and Tiffany already mentioned. The fact that we know what is happening around the world, when you come to geography, we know where things are at, We know how to solve problems in a higher, matter. Yeah, so that's really what helped us shine, if you want to say it like that, when we just perform applications for universities.
Yeah. And Sharika, from your experience as kids are trying to move on to universities, what does the acceptance rate look like? What kind of schools are they getting into? As a parent, we're all concerned, right, that our kids are properly trained or educated in high school so that they can go on and whether it's a big name school or a small name school, go and be a success in whatever they want to do for the next level of education.
Yeah, I think most of our kids that do apply to the university of their choice end up getting admission. I think Tiffany, they've gotten into, what are some of the big name schools that they've gotten into? Harvard?
Yeah, over Harvard. The years, we've had all Ivy. So as you know, the U.S. system is much more complex and less transparent. In Europe, if you have the test scores, if you have AP exams, you automatically get in.
Right.
In the U.S., it's a little bit more of a game. But we still have had students go to Ivy League, some of the best liberal arts and colleges. They love the liberal arts and colleges because it fits as much as possible, an alternative route of education. But yeah, pretty high. I mean, they're guided by Sharika and I to apply to a wide range of schools, especially if they're going into the U.S. In Europe, it's pretty we know that if you have these scores, you'll get it. And it's 100% guaranteed. Same in Australia, New Zealand. It's more transparent and less kind of political.
Yeah. Tiffany, is it expensive? How does it rank among other, maybe private high schools or things that people would go?
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. None of our students have their lungs anymore. They just sell them. it is pretty expensive, on paper. But I would say around 97% of our students receive a scholarship, pretty hefty. We're need-based, so 100% need-based. So if a student's need is 100%, they'll get it. If a student's need is 80%, they'll get it. I don't think we have many full-paying students at all. Less than 5, I know for sure. I don't know the exact number. But we're heavily funded by our founder, who makes a way for all students to attend, no matter their income. So we actually don't know income until they're accepted. So we're need blind and we're 100% need met. Wow. So even some students on full scholarship, meaning that we cover the visas, the flights, if they need luggage, anything that they need, but whatever they need, they'll get. And then once they're in country, everything is covered from their housing, their food. It doesn't matter what a student pays. And most students, like I said, are on pretty hefty scholarships.
Yeah.
Because when you think about currency and you think about inflation of currency and the price is a U.S. number. It's an American dollar number. We make sure to put the money last because we want to get the best students first.
Yeah. Maria, did you get homesick? Did you miss your family? How often did you get to see them?
Look, I'm Mexican, so that's kind of obvious.
Family is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. For us Latin people, yeah. But you get used to it. Mm. Once you have your group of friends, you're like, hey, mom, I'm leaving. I'll see you after lunch. It's not really a big deal, but you need to build up your your group. Yeah.
And finally, Sharika, I'll go to you. You know, we talk about third culture kids a lot overseas, and yes, our kids were born overseas and our third culture kids. Is this sort of the next level of third culture kids, whether or not they're born outside of their home country, to really get kids out in the world? And why is this important to make sure that kids have these experiences as we look into the 21st century?
Yeah, I mean, I think the world is becoming a smaller place in a way, right? So it'd be more beneficial to experience all these different cultures and to really understand them instead of just, you know, perhaps watching them on TV and having a certain stereotype about a certain culture or listening about a country on the news. And like Tiffany said, understanding a different perspective and or maybe, you know, a more real perspective of a culture and a country and learning and understanding about them.
Mm. Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much. This has really been an eye-opening segment for me. And thank you just for all the input and insight. Sharika Venugopal, Tiffany Green, Maria Diaz de Leon, all from the Think Global School. That's thinkglobalschool.org. If you're interested in checking that out online. Appreciate your time today, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.